I'm very thankful for the privilege of being back here. It's sure good to see the saints again. I'd like to read in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Do you think this was an important question that they asked? Lord, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Apparently it was important enough for them to argue about it, who the greatest was. And who is best to answer that question but the Lord himself? Who is the greatest? And so the day came that they're going to find the answer to what they've been arguing over, what has been so preeminent in their minds. Lord, who is the greatest? And I can imagine these disciples here going over their own religious resumes, thinking what their talents were, their leadership skills, their educational backgrounds, and thinking of all the reasons why they felt like that they ought to be selected as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And they sure had opportunity, didn't they? Because they were the ones close to the Lord. They were the ones individually called to follow Jesus. So here they are in anticipation. Who is it going to be, Lord? Is it going to be me? Is today my day of promotion? And Jesus called the little child, put him in the midst of them. And perhaps they were thinking, no, Lord, we weren't asking who's the least in the kingdom of heaven. We're asking who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Well, disciples, if you'll put your egos aside for a little while, I'd like to share a lesson with you. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility is freedom from pride and arrogance. A modest esteem of one's own worth. Lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. Do you think there is a connection between humility and love? Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. First Corinthians 13 and 4, "Charity," or love, "suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up." So true love doesn't promote itself, is not puffed up, but recognizes where oneself really is. I am firmly convinced that if we could see ourselves as God sees us, we would have all the humility we needed. So, to me, pride is really an illusion. It's what they call being puffed up. Is humility one of the fruits of the spirits of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5 and 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So one of the fruits of the Spirit is meekness. And the Greek word is gentleness, which by implication is humility.
Yes.
Someone who is gentle, someone who is not contentious, but a person that has a low esteem of himself or herself. So I believe humility ties in very closely with the fruits of the Spirit. It's one of the evidences that we have the Spirit of God. So if humility is a fruit of the Spirit, how do we get humility? By being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's one of the ways of having the evidence of the Holy Spirit is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. So if we accept the second work of grace, if we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, it is going to work the work of humility in our lives. If we've been struggling with pride and we're saved, it is a good reason to go on, among others, to have that second work of grace, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, because out of that, the evidence will be the humility that we need. If humility is a fruit of the Spirit, how do we get that? By having the Spirit of Christ. Even when we are saved, we will have a greater humility than when we're a sinner. Do you believe that? How do we get humility? By taking action. Let's read in 1 Peter chapter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Be subject, younger, to the elder. That takes some humility, doesn't it?
Yes.
But then what about being subject one to another? Even more humility. In fact, when people look at you, they see your clothing, right? They ought to look at our lives and see us clothed in humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Yes.
If humility is a fruit of the Spirit, what would you call pride? Would it be all right to call it a fruit of the flesh?
Yes.
Galatians 5 and 20 gives us some of the fruits of the flesh or works of the flesh. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, emulations, trying to be better than the next person. Maybe always having to be able to tell a bigger story or feeling like we're superior to other people. That's a work of the flesh. And it speaks of strife being as a work of the flesh. Proverbs tells us only by pride cometh contention.
Yes.
So may God help us to have the humility that we need. Well, what's the benefit of being humble? It tells us right here in Peter, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You ever find yourself short on grace? Humility is a key. You ever been in a conflict with someone? Humbling down, even if you're right, humbling down can bring the grace of God into your heart. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When is due time? We may want the Lord to exalt us right away. We may get tired of the trial, but in due time, when God is ready, then the exaltation can come. You think about David. How many years was he hunted by Saul after he had been anointed king? He had opportunity to take Saul's life and turn that down, humbling himself until the day God exalted him. And so it is in our lives. When is due time that God will exalt us? When God sees it's time. Humility, thou secret veil, unknown to proud in heart, where showers of blessings never fail and glories ne'er depart. A veil is a tract of low ground or land between hills. In other words, a valley. It is a secret valley, it says. Humility, thou secret veil, unknown to proud in heart. This is a place we can hide. The brother mentioned the conflict that's going on in another part of the world. This warring, this desire to destroy, this stirring up of the hearts. You know how we can hide from things like that? By getting into the valley of humility. And we can hide from a lot of things that other people are having to suffer. Humility, how calm the breast that knows thy peace sublime. Within thy courts, our perfect rest grows sweeter all the time. There is another benefit of humility. Rest is there. I have some rich customers, and I was in a rich man's house one day. Big house, nice neighborhood. If you saw his living room furniture, it looked like it came from a palace somewhere, like it belonged in a museum, not something you'd get comfortable on. Amazing house. But this man told me that he was under stress. He didn't know if he was making $7,000 a day or $12,000 a day. It just varied from day to day, and he was just under stress, and I don't remember his numbers, but it was impressive. And I told him, you need to rest. He needed some peace, see?
Yeah.
Humility brings us rest. If we're all proud, if we're seeking after the things of this world, if we need to impress people with financial things, we're going to be missing out on a rest that comes to God's people that are willing to humble themselves down. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 19. Isaiah 57 and 19. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose water cast up mire and dirt. Humility, thou secret veil, unknown to proud in heart, where showers of blessing never fail and glories never depart. O Lord, help us to be willing to enter into that low down valley and have the blessings and have the rest that we need to our souls. Verse 15, Isaiah 57 and 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is what? Of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You ever need any reviving?
Lord.
You ever find this world and its problems and relationships with other people, these things just press on you, the discouragement of what the world is doing today? You ever need any reviving? This is where revival happens. I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones.
Yes.
Jesus was our example, our Lord. And he said in Matthew 11 and 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Do you think there is a connection between meekness and rest, humility and rest? Learn of me, Jesus says. I am meek and lowly, and when you learn this, you're going to have rest.
That's right.
Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Zechariah 9 and 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt of the foal of an ass. Your king comes, and he's riding on the foal, or the young one, of a donkey. Not a very glamorous position. It was not a white stallion that was charging to impress everyone with armies following him. But it was something very lowly and humbling.
Yes.
That's how your king comes. And if he is lowly, let us learn of him. Lord, what should I be?
Amen.
Should I insist on the stallion for my entry into Jerusalem? Or should I be willing to take a more humble route? King of glory, yet born in a manger, our Lord. He was the creator of the universe. Think of it. Now, I meet rich people sometimes, and I see their houses, and some of them live in beautiful places. They have no problem with money. They have prestige. People are impressed with them. But think of the creator of the universe with no place to lay his head. Lord, help us to be willing to follow his example, to have the humility that he would have us to have. He was the Lord of lords, yet he got down and washed the feet of his disciples. Well, if Jesus was that humble, what should you and I be? John chapter 13 and verse 13. John 13 and 13, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet,
yes,
ye also ought to wash one another's feet.
Yes.
For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, here's another benefit to humility. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them.
That's right. Yes.
You want happiness? You want peace? You want rest? Humility is the key that opens the door to get into that secret valley where these things are in abundance. The servant is not greater than the Lord. Should we then be making sure everyone knows about our talents? About our seniority, our skills, our religious resume. Should we make sure everybody knows about that?
Yeah.
How about how humble we are? Should we make sure everyone knows how hard we're working for the Lord and what great things we're doing for him? I thank thee, Lord, I'm not as other men.
Lord, yeah.
Or should we be as humble as Jesus was? We do have some examples of humility in the Bible. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 20. When Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Machri was taken. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. They were looking for a king. And Saul was hiding. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. He had some humility, didn't he? Instead of, yes, I should be chosen king of Israel, it's definitely me, he was hiding when his time of promotion came. And they ran and fetched him thence when he stood among the people, and he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see him who the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. He was an humble man, wasn't he?
Yes.
But unfortunately, the time came that Saul lost his humility. If we go to the 15th chapter and verse 17, Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? See, when we're little in our own sight, the Lord can do something with us. The Lord will promote us. The Lord will bless our lives when we are little in our own sight. Now, when we get big in our sight, the opposite happens. We lose our rest. We lose our peace. And the Lord can no longer use us. When you were little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Don't you remember how you got here? You got here by humility. And when you give up your humility, you're going to lose your position. Moses was another man who is an example of humility. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Numbers 12 and 3. Now Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Was Moses always that way? Moses was Pharaoh's daughter's son, adopted son. He had position. He had possibly the line for the throne in Egypt. Moses killed a man at 40 years old. When Moses was 40, he killed a man trying to execute justice. Perhaps he felt like, I'm important here. I am chosen of God. I am the defender of you, my brethren. That's who I am. And he killed a man. And then he ran for his life. And for 40 years, you know what Moses' job was? Shepherd. That's a pretty lowly position, isn't it? Do you suppose in those 40 years of being shepherd, Moses learned anything about humility? I think watching sheep is a real good way to learn about humility. Sheep don't have arrogant personalities like goats do, like bulls do. Sheep are very meek, mild creatures that readily follow the shepherd. Moses interacted with sheep for 40 years. And I think Moses learned something to the point that he became the meekest man on all the earth. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, God speaking to Moses, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, remember the scripture that said, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he will exalt you. Yes. Due time had come from Moses. He had learned meekness. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Instead of, I am the executor of judgment, I'm the one that can decide to take a man's life, you need to listen to me. The question he asked was, who am I? You know, when we get to that point of asking, who am I after all? The Lord can actually use us to do something. When we recognize we don't have the capability, regardless of our talents, regardless of our education, regardless of our years of experience, I need God. Who am I to do anything? When we get to that point, now God can do something with us. And the Lord used Moses in an amazing way. He led an entire nation out of slavery and into a better place. Who am I? When we start getting the feeling that we are somebody, it's a good time to reconsider where we are in life. Doesn't the scripture say, pride cometh before a fall? Another example of humility. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Now, when people get very rich, often they get very proud too, don't they? And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. So what does Abram do? I am the uncle. God called me into this land. And you just tagged along. I am rich. So I'm going to tell you how we're going to settle this conflict. Is that what Abram said? And Abram said unto Lot, now God blesses people that are humble. He said unto Lot, let there be no strife. See, strife is a serious threat to our well-being, our relationships here. Whatever it takes, the wealth is not so important anymore. The fact that there is conflict between family surpasses in importance the fact that there's wealth, or there is a better land, or there's better pasture, or there are more wells in a given location. Let there be no strife.
Yes.
This was coming from a man that knew something about humility.
Yes. Amen.
Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdmen,
yes,
for we be brethren.
Lord Jesus, help us.
The fact that we're brethren is more important than the size of my wealth.
Lord Jesus,
is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And here you go. You choose what you want. You choose the better land. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left.
Lord,
and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan. And it was well watered everywhere, and before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And Lot chose the better land. But he did so to his own detriment and the detriment to his family. There is a connection between pride and contention. If I feel like I am more important than you are, and you don't submit to me,
Lord Jesus, help us.
Then there's a problem, isn't there? But if I feel like I am the least of all the brethren, and you don't submit to me, what difference does it make? If I'm the least anyway, Lord help us, Lord help me. I want to move up in this area as well. We also have some examples of pride. Esther chapter 6. On that night, Esther 6 and 1, the king could not sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then the king's servants that ministered unto him said, "There is nothing done for him." And the king says, "Who is in the court?" And Haman was come into the court, the outward court of the king's house, to speak to the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" Haman would have been much better off with a heart of humility. Who could it possibly be? It has to be me. He probably spent quite a bit of his spare time thinking about what a great man he was, the high position he had in the kingdom. But because he was so lifted up in pride, his pride brought him very low, didn't it? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 24. The king was given the interpretation of his dream, and Daniel told the king that they would drive him out from men, and his dwelling would be with the beasts of the field. Verse 27, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." We want peace, don't we? How do we achieve peace? By breaking off our iniquity, by showing mercy to the poor. And this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and the king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty?" Do you think God was impressed by his might, by his majesty, by Babylon itself? You remember when they showed Jesus the great buildings in Jerusalem? They were no doubt awestruck, these fishermen and these disciples of Jesus. "Lord, look at all these magnificent buildings." You think the Lord was impressed? You see all these things, not one stone is going to be left on another. You know, God is not impressed by the greatness that we think we are achieving in life. He's not impressed by the size of our bank account or what our talents are, what our looks are. God is not impressed with that.
That's right.
"Is not this the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. While the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Well, may I do something a little bit different? Would those of you who have all the humility that you need, please raise your hand? I'm sure not raising mine. I feel like I need more.
Amen.
Then may we be careful that we don't sound a trumpet before us of our good deeds, of to love the prayers in the marketplace. Lord, help us that we will truly have that humble heart, the heart of Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ, that humbled himself to the suffering of the cross. Consider when we give our testimonies in prayer meeting, and I think it's wonderful that we give testimonies in prayer meeting, but let us consider, what is the effect of the testimony? Is it something to increase people's admiration of how spiritual we are, or what good deeds we have done? Or is it something that somehow magnifies God?
Yes.
Just as the stream finds a bed that is lowly, so Jesus walks with the pure and the holy.
Amen.
Cast out thy pride, and in heartfelt contrition, humble thyself to walk with God. I believe that walk is going to be worth it.
Yes.
I believe the peace that we reap, the blessings that will fall on our lives, the promotions that will come by casting out our pride and humbling ourselves before God,
yes,
will be well worth it.
That's right.
May God bless you today.
Amen.